Oh, God is good. All the time. All the time. Would you grab your swords? It's time to sharpen reality. Walls of reality. Again, the Lord is so cool in so many ways in the area of, even though that there are certain things that we have understanding of, He always brings us deeper. There's a deeper area, deeper revelation, things that we need to not only be reminded of, but things that we need to recognize. And it's important because when we assemble together, there's so many things that are brought up, which and the purpose of that also is to bring remembrance. And that's why it's so important about praying every morning. And God knows whether you're making contact with Him every morning or not. He knows whether you're playing the game, trying to play Him. He knows exactly what's what. Amen? Nothing is hidden from Him. So in this, there's this place where reality must be a constant for me and you. Let's get rid of it. You can just shut it off. So anyways, there must be a place where reality is a constant. And in this reality of consistent reality, it means what is real. What is real? So deception is the area that interrupts reality. It always interrupts reality. So in this place, in this realm that we live in, it's ruled by deception. Amen? And we've talked a little bit about this, and I want to review a couple things here. In Revelation 12, Revelation chapter 12, in verse 7, it says, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels also fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven, the unseen realm, any longer, or in the throne room of God at that time. So the great serpent was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world." Listen, that's not stopped yet. Even though Jesus came, the devil is still deceiving the world. Amen? "Who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So the ruler of this earth is Satan, and he deceives people. He controls, he rules by deception. Amen? Deception actually rules this world. And John 14, we are going to move quickly tonight. In John 14, in verse 1, would you read it with me, please? John 14, in verse 1. So what rules the earth? Deception. It says, would you read it with me? "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." There's this place. It's called the place of reality. Hold on to that until we get to it. "For if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" He was thinking carnally, naturally. And Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth." In other words, truth is light. Where there's light, there's life. And I am the life. I am the light. I am the eternal port. I am the doorway into eternity. And he says something very powerful. He says, "No one comes to the Father except for through me." So we see here that Jesus said, "I am the way out of deception. I am the way out of the matrix, the kingdom of self. I am the way out." In Ephesians 5, Ephesians 5 and verse 8, we'll start at verse 6. Ephesians 5, verse 6, what's it say? "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." So one of the things that Jesus is the way, he's granting us a way of escape, right? The way of escape from the deception of darkness and from the wrath of God. "Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were what? Once darkness." So you and I were once living in deception. But now you are light in the Lord because you're living in the Lord. If you are living in the Lord, if you are abiding in Him, walk as children of light. Walking as a child of light is not in deception. It's not even in a gray area. For the fruit of the Spirit is in truth. I want to say it again. The fruit of the Spirit is in goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. In other words, knowing what His will is. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of deception. Why? Because darkness is deception. If you have fruitful works with it, if you associate with it, you become it. When you step into darkness, you become darkness. Unless you are filled with light, then you expose darkness. Because if you're not exposing darkness, darkness is blinding you. Does everybody get it? Again, if you're not exposing darkness, then darkness is blinding you. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but what? Rather what? Expose them. Expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who are asleep. Why? Because darkness puts you asleep. Arise from the dead. While you sleep long enough, you end up dead. And Christ will give you light. Why? Because light is life. Amen? Light is life. So you and I were born in deception. Amen? Christ gives light, the way out of deception that rules the world, rules the earth, Satan's kingdom. In John chapter 3. John chapter 3. In verse 18. Would you read it with me, please? What's the word believe mean?
Follow.
So if you're following the light, you're abiding in the light, you expose darkness. Does everybody get that? Because that's the character of light, is to expose darkness. That's the character. It exposes unfruitful works of darkness. And it says, he who believes in me or in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he does not follow or believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the true light has come into the world and men love what? Darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So anything associated with darkness is evil. So is lying evil? Is pornography evil? Is addiction evil? It's amazing how many people don't really get that. Is alcoholism evil? There are things that people associate with that just don't get it yet. For everyone practicing evil, now listen to this. So if a person is practicing evil, hates the light. They hate the light. Even though they don't even know it. They may proclaim themselves to be a Christian, but they're practicing evil. Does everybody get it? And they have false fruits, deceptive fruits. But in reality, they hate the light. Why? Because if they hate the light, they wouldn't practice. I mean, if they love the light, they wouldn't practice evil. Why? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be what? Exposed. Really, if you're doing things in secret, then you're doing something evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth, practices the truth, comes to the light, that his deeds may be what? Clearly seen, that they have been done where? In God, not in the flesh, not in self, not in the man's will, but in the Spirit. Does everybody get that? So men love darkness because we and I were born in darkness. We were born in deception. And darkness cannot comprehend light. It doesn't understand it. It just doesn't get it. It stays in darkness. Believe me, when the enemy moves you in darkness, deception, it is tough to come out because it is taken captive and every part of your being says something's not right, but yet I don't want to come out. Because once darkness grabs a hold of you, it doesn't want to let go. Why? Because you were born in it. And when you're born in darkness, when you're born in deception, your old man loves it. It loves it. It wants to associate it. It wants to promote it. It wants to live it. And you can't break loose of it. The only thing that breaks loose of it is the anointing. You must repent and run from it. Run from it. That's why it says depart from evil. Why? That's the reverence, the fear of the wisdom of God. Amen? Run from it. Depart from evil. Too many people pet it. Or they try to justify it. Or they try and reason it. It's like people trying to quit smoking cigarettes. You mean smoking cigarettes is evil? Well, the Bible says that if you're doing stuff that destroys your body, God will destroy you. Cigarettes are an accursed item. It doesn't promote anything of Jesus. Amen. It doesn't has no promotion of freedom. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So if you're bound by cigarettes, you ain't free. You got a demon. It's called a spirit of nicotine. It's real simple. If you drink alcohol, you got a demon. Does everybody get it? That's what addiction is, a spirit. It's not a desire, it's a spirit. But that spirit is desiring it. So you're fulfilling it. In this, God is always trying to make a way of escape, whether we accept it or refuse it. Remember, that's why people don't like coming to fellowship, because they can't handle the light. And now there's some fellowships, there's not enough light in. So they can go to those. Oh, hallelujah. In John 8. In John 8 and verse 43, I think it is. Start at 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Why can't you comprehend it?" Because darkness can't comprehend light. "Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the what? Father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." Do you know that there's that time when a person can get bound? He's not in, when it means it's about not in God, because they're not in God's will. And God means that God's will and God's time. God's will and God's time. And if you're out of time, do you know how things run? Rough. Do you ever get a car that's out of time? Rough. You don't know if it's going to make it to the next stop sign. And then you try to do everything you can to the car. Then you find out it's just out of time. Oh, hallelujah. The devil is a liar and his offsprings live in darkness and deception. In verse 32, it says very something powerful. It says, "You shall know the truth and the truth shall what? Make you free." Why? Because light is life. And if you're practicing it, if you're walking in it, you will be free. If you dance around it, you're not free. You're still out of time. In John chapter 6, in verse 53. "And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Well, that probably freaked out a lot of people, because they couldn't understand it. Even his own disciples couldn't understand it. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me." Let me share something. When you're feeding on light, you eat light, you become light, you see. Light overtakes darkness. Does everybody get that? Light exposes darkness. In fact, light exposes the will of the devil and promotes the will of God. But if a person is in deception, it's impossible for them to fulfill the will of God or expose darkness, because they're in darkness themselves. Is everybody all right? All right. Now, hallelujah. I'm going to go a little further on this. All right. Okay. Let's do this. Verse 58. "This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna, and are what? Dead. He who eats this bread will what? Live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is hard saying. Who can understand it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, 'Does this offend you?'" You realize how many people get offended when light is expressed? You know why? Because they're in darkness. They're in deception. Let me share with you, deception interrupts. It interrupts the will of God. It interrupts your destiny. It interrupts. Always interrupts. Oh, hallelujah. "Therefore, his disciples were freaked out. And Jesus said, 'Does this offend you?' Verse 62, what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there were some who did not believe. They didn't believe. And there are many who still don't believe. Why? Because deception is overtaking the truth. See, people don't even realize that you can exchange truth for a lie. That's what the enemy always tries to do. He tries to get you to exchange. Didn't he offer that to Jesus? Amen? He offered him everything. He offered him lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Jesus said no. And what did he do? He exposed him. And he said, get behind me. Be gone. But the word also said that the devil would come back again. Listen, he doesn't quit. He knows our weaknesses. He knows. He knows our desires. You know why? Because he puts them there. So he tries to always connect us with deception that moves us out of position. Does everybody get it? And once we're out of position, we're deceived. We are now taken. And in that place of deception, there is no rest. No rest in deception. Deception does not promote rest. It promotes anxiousness, fear, torment, anxiety. It promotes the works of the flesh. It's why Jesus asks us to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood so we can maintain a divine life. Do you know that we are created, born again, as an eternal being? To maintain that, we are eating from the tree of life to maintain a divine life. Divine life means that you are filled with light and you see. You are not blind, you see. You know when deception comes, you see it. Why? Because you're able to expose darkness, and darkness is deception. That's why Jesus said, when you step, you know how many people don't even pray in the morning? You know how many people don't even get dressed with the full armor? They're so busy trying to fulfill the kingdom of self that they don't take the time to truly seek God. They pray on the way, and they never get really an answer. The only answer they get is their desire, which is usually deception. They don't get a true answer. Remember, deception loves to interrupt. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 13, it says something powerful. Enter the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. In other words, it ain't easy. And there are few who find it. Few. Wow. Why? Because it's all. Why is it difficult? Because deception loves to interrupt. It's always an interrupter. Deception. People go in the cycle of deception again. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 1, what does it say? Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, are we in the latter times? Some will depart from the faith or the will of God. By what? Giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits and what? Doctrines of demons. Interruption. Does everybody get it? Interruption. Why? Because narrow and difficult is the way. They've been interrupted by deception. Deceiving spirits fall from the will of God by the interruption of deception. Remember, deception is your enemy. Demons focus on deceiving. Everything is about deception. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 3. What does it say? But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. Why? Is the gospel truth? Yes. Is truth light? And light is life. Right? So, it says, and whose minds the God of this age has blinded. What's he blinding with? Deception. Who do not follow, lest the light of the gospel, the light of glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them, and they would know the way out, the way of escape. In verse 17, what's it say? For our what? Light afflictions. This affliction is called reality wall. It's a wall of reality. Why? When you get afflicted, you know, many times we have to hit a wall before we finally wake up, and it becomes a reality wall. I find yourself in jail, uh-oh. Or when the police officer pulls you over, uh-oh. It's called a wall of reality. Whoops. Maybe I better make a change. Does everybody get it? When you hit the wall of reality, it means that there's a change that needs to be done. Amen? Can't make your bills. Will need to make a change. Something's not... Does everybody get it? So in this wall of reality, there's a wall that we hit. And the reason why we hit that wall is because we're in deception. When we hit that wall, that affliction says, wake up. When we wake up, we're supposed to expose the darkness, get into the light, eat of his flesh, drink of his blood, and follow him because he is the way out of deception. Right. Why? Because we are seeking the place now called the place of reality. Let me explain something. One of the things the Lord loves to do, and I found this in my own life, that he brings us to the place where he wants to meet us. It's called the reality place. He wants to meet us. And in that reality place, the enemy knows that if he can interrupt, he can prevent the meeting. And God loves to express himself and expose himself to us. Why? Because he wants to make himself real. And he knows that we need to be reaffirmed on some of these things. Amen? So all of a sudden you see the hand of God move, like something that no man can do. You know, God did it. Wow. Why? Because he wants to bring us to that place of reality where there's visitation. But again, the enemy loves to interrupt so that person can never reach that place and goes back into the cycle of deception again. Think about how many things that we didn't fulfill. Amen? I mean, people had gone to school to be a nurse, to be a doctor, to be an attorney, and it was interrupted. A business that we started that was interrupted. A relationship. Now, sometimes relationships will interrupt. Sometimes jobs will interrupt. Greed will interrupt. Lust will interrupt. Why? Because those are areas of deception. So many people, what did it say? And many will fall from the will of God. Why? Didn't mean that they would not still believe that Jesus was their Lord and Savior, but they would not fulfill the mission. They would begin to fulfill their own mission. That's deception. And it is a terrible thing to be successful in a wrong assignment. And that's one of the things the enemy wants to do. He wants to interrupt, to put another assignment there so you never reach the place of reality. You know how many people say, I'm blessed, and they're blessing themselves, and it's not God? Many. They bless themselves when it's not God that's blessing them. That's why the Bible says we go from glory to glory. That's from reality place to reality place. But the enemy wants to interrupt it, and he does it by deception. Oh, glory. So here we say in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, that's that wall of reality. Wham! Wake up! Is working for us a far more exceeding the eternal weight of glory. While we don't look at the things which are what? Seen. Why? Because, see, when you hit that wall of reality, it's like, whoa, I better look somewhere else. How many times people get into a circumstance and they look up? Help. So they're actually looking to the unseen, aren't they? While we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That is reality. That's the reality realm, isn't it? The things that are eternal is what's real. The things that are temporary are only temporary. Everything goes away here, right? Praise God. So our afflictions are the reality wall of impact of the seen realm so that we can look at the unseen, because it's the unseen that has been influencing us with deception, hasn't it? So deception was the interruption of the will of God, our destiny, our call. You know how many people are not fulfilling their call, or they've drifted to another call because of interruption when God didn't call them to do that? Or doing something else. And Luke 16. There is a dimensional reality also. It's called a dimensional wall of reality. Luke 16. And Luke 16 and verse 19. It says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at this gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a what? Great gulf. That is a dimensional wall of reality. So that those who want to pass from here to you cannot. So if you get a visitation from any relative or anyone that's dead, it is a familiar spirit. Well, Aunt Betsy came and visited me the other day. Oh, really? No. It was a familiar spirit. So then you start praying to the dead, and you bring a curse on yourself. That's what they want. Nor can those from here pass to us. So, again, this is a dimensional wall of reality. In fact, that dimensional wall of reality is also called time. In Genesis 1, what does it say? It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Beginning means the thing, first thing God created was time. It was a dimensional wall of reality, wasn't it? But there was something beautiful that happened. So it seemed like we were boxed, time boxed. We've been boxed in with time in this dimensional wall of reality. That's why we have a hard time comprehending certain things. Our little peanut brain. That's why you got to have the mind of Christ to go beyond. In Luke 7, Walls of Reality is the name of the teaching, just in case. Luke 7 and verse 20. It says, when the men had come to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the one, or the coming one, or do we look for another? And at that very hour, he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits. And to many blind, he gave sight. And Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. There's something that occurred here. These people got healed, delivered, freed. Why? Because reality himself had breached the dimensional wall of reality. He was the one that was making, releasing from the storehouses of eternity, healing. Does everybody understand that? He's the only one that could walk out of time and come back in time. He's the only. When people are healed, there's a dimensional opening that only through the Holy Spirit of God ceases time to heal in a person. Time has stopped. Does everybody get this? Time stops. Why? Because in eternity, there is no time. So what's actually wiped away is the affliction of time. Whew. Healing comes, and a person is made new. Because only the one who can walk in and out of time can heal, remove spirits. Does everybody get it? Even when we cast out a devil, it's not by me or you. It's by the timeless one. And the one who holds time, who created time, in reality himself. Oh, praise God. Woo! Reality himself just crossed over the dimensional wall of time, in and out. That's why he was telling them. That's why he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I hold reality. I hold time. I can stop it and let it go. But everything in this realm is held by time. That's what holds it together. Amen? But he's able to go in and out. In John 10, walls of reality. Jesus said in verse 9, that's why he says, I am the what? Door. I am the door. Man, people can really grab hold of this. Why? He's the one that can hold open. He holds it up. He just spreads it. Here comes time. Okay, no problem. I got it. Come on, kids, he says. Enter a timeless place. Enter the place of truth where reality really is. It's the reality realm. It's called the glory realm. And only a dad would open that door for me and you that loves us. In verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go out in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to what? Steal, kill, and to destroy. Wait a minute. A thief, how does he operate? By what? Deception. So he's going to steal with deception. He's going to kill with deception. And he will destroy with deception. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it what? More abundantly. Yes. In Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. Is everybody okay? And when we sing that song, take me into the holy of holies, take me into the timeless place where I'm not bound anymore. Take me into the glory realm. Remove all the things of deception of time in me so that I may be healed. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, all foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, the light, the life, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so stupid? I mean, foolish. Having begun in the Spirit, woohoo, yeah, I'm doing God's will. I'm going to go down. Then deception comes in. Boom! Interrupts. Well, I think I changed my mind. Oh, really? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Again, bewitched, deceived, interrupted by deception. Listen, we came out of darkness after hitting a wall of reality. Hello, I need help. Amen, that affliction. Now, so what we're trying to do after we hit the wall of reality, wake up, we want to eat the flesh, drink the blood, stay, don't touch it. See, even when you touch something that is deceptive, it spreads. It spreads like cancer. It spreads like a disease. And one of the first things it begins to do is blind. Even when you touch it, it contaminates. So here we are trying to, what are we trying to reach? The place of reality where visitation comes, where encouragement comes, where God does something. Whoa, why he makes himself so real to me and you. Now, let me tell you else. He'll make himself real to you even when you're in deception to warn you from the next thing. But you can either accept it or reject it. Hallelujah. Now, so in this, we want to be able to reach that reality place where that visitation, impartation, whatever it may be, how God's going to make himself so real to you to reaffirm that you're his child, you're his son, you're his daughter, and he's your dad. And he's got it all in control as long as you're following him. Amen? 2 Corinthians 11. Hallelujah! Walls of reality. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 12. But what I do, I also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. Well, there's a lot of imitators, a lot of counterfeiters. For such are false prophets, apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into a what? Angel of light. See, when deception interrupts, you can't discern the true light. So you'll accept the counterfeit light and stay in deception and never reach the wall or that place of reality. Where there's connection with eternity, the timeless one, the healer, the deliverer, the one who provides, who opens up the dimensional port. Amen? And says here, verse 15, therefore it is no great thing that his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So we see again, one angel of light, counterfeit of true light that brings life divine. It's a counterfeit. It interrupts us from advancing to the next reality place. The next reality place. That's why people get so discouraged. That's why they get fearful and anxious and all these other goofy things. They can't rest. Look at, when there's deception, there is no rest. None. If you're not in rest, you're in deception. In 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Of course, there'll be people that say, well, look, I'm in rest. Of course, they're taking 14 downers every night and sleeping pills. They're in rest, all right. They're in comatose. That's heavy-duty deception. Hallelujah. In verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation of what? Royal, a holy nation. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who what? Called you out of darkness into his what? Marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now a people of God. Who did not obtain mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against your soul, or interrupt the divine will of God. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. And, hallelujah, in the place of reality, place of visitation. 1 John chapter 3. Is everybody getting this? We're going to see more and more of this. You're going to see much more of this. People will be taken. It's incredible. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. Little children, read it with me. Let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Why? Because they're deceived. Or they were practicing righteousness, now they're not, because there's been an interruption. Amen? They've not reached the reality place. There's been an interruption that brought them back into deception again. And they're in the cycle. Is everybody all right? Practicing righteousness. So, we know what practicing evil is. Touching unclean things is practicing evil, isn't it? Disobedience is practicing evil. Has everybody got it? 1 John chapter 2, while we're here, in verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. If we what? Abide. These things I have written to you concerning those who what? Try to deceive you. Try to deceive you. He said, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. Well, if you're not abiding in the anointing, believe me, hello, if you're not staying filled, let me explain something to you. It's like a wineskin that has a tear in it. You know, you keep filling, or a bottle that's got a hole in it, you keep filling and filling, right? Why is that? Because touching something that's unclean. Anything that's not God's will is unclean. Touching something that's unclean will drain you. And you're always drained. Now, how does the enemy operate in that? Well, he tries to get you to agree with something to touch here first. And then you're draining all the time. You're unstable. You're up and down. You're emotionally. You're tormented. You can't rest correctly. You got to stay busy sometimes. Can't sit still. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? So in this again, he said, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. Again, the enemy's trying to deceive. He's trying to interrupt. Let me explain something to you. There's an area where we don't want to justify certain things. All right? Practicing evil is practicing evil. If you're watching pornography, if you're using dope, drinking, or whatever, there's a thing of practicing evil. Now, there's a struggle you may go through, amen, but that's not practicing evil. You may have a burden, you may be sick, and you may be struggling in that area. Does everybody get that? But a struggle doesn't mean that you're practicing evil, amen? So don't try to intermix that because you have a struggle with something. I mean, if I tub my toe, if I left the stove on, no, If I hit my foot against a wall or a chair and I'm hopping around, man, I'm like, man, what am I doing? I'm struggling trying to get to the next thing. That doesn't mean I'm practicing evil. Amen? Does everybody get that? So in this, don't be confused on what it's practicing evil and a struggle. Evil is evil. That's down. That's it. Evil is deception. It says don't touch evil. Don't pay it. Hate it. Amen? Praise God. And I want to close in 2 Corinthians 3. You know, sometimes people struggle. They just lost a loved one. They're struggling a little bit, you know. Doesn't mean they're practicing evil. Unless they're struggling for 2 years. Now they're practicing evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. Would you read it with me? Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in the anointing. Eternal presence, power, and truth. That means you've got to walk out of deception and walk in the light. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is what? Removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty, freedom. So if there is not freedom, then the Spirit of the Lord ain't there. That's bottom line. If you ain't free, then the Spirit of God ain't there. Is everybody okay? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So it's our responsibility to make way for the Spirit of the Lord. It's our responsibility, amen, to make a clear, clean way. Verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of what? Darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Am I in the right location? I didn't think so. Well, why didn't anybody say anything? I got interrupted. Get behind me, devil. Did you like it? It was good. Oh, well, we already read that part. Snap. Sutarabie rahasia. Okay. Anyways, verse 18. Praise God. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being what? Transformed into the same image from what? Glory. Wait, glory means reality place. Glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we want to go from glory place to glory place. Amen? Now, remember, the enemy will want to interrupt with what? Deception. Then you know what happens after deception? We hit the wall of reality again, and we start our journey back searching for the reality place. See, and let me share that. When we go from reality to reality place to reality place, there's a level of trust that we gain from the Lord. Does everybody know? He trusts you more. He trusts you. But if you keep going from the wall of reality back to the wall of reality, back to the wall of reality, and never reach the reality place, it's a constant life of deception. It's a constant life of up and down. It's a constant life. It can't be trusted. Amen? So it's our responsibility to expose deception, expose the darkness, maintain the inner eating of light so that we maintain light so we can see. And look at, that's why self-examination is important every single day. But if you're not making contact every day, if you're not getting dressed with the full armor of God every day, if you're not breaking this stuff off every single day, you are in deception already. That's all that's to it. It don't matter how much money you make or how much work you do or even how much service you do to the kingdom, because it won't be counted for nothing. Labor without obedience is nothing. Amen? God sends us to do it. We don't. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Lord, I ask that you continue to expose the walls of reality and make it a true understanding to each and every one of us, that we may see the dimensional wall of time and see the walls that we've run into and see the interruptions of deception that we may reach the place of reality and have sweet communion and visitation with you. Lord, expose it. Remove it from us, that we may be encouraged to watch your hand move in a mighty way, so that we may give you all the glory, all the promise, all the honor, and all the praise, and be encouraged in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.